Welcome to The After Party, the weekly follow-up to sermons from Harbor of Hope Christian Church in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. We sit down every Sunday with the pastor who spoke and dive deeper into the topic from each week. Without further ado, join the party. Hey, everybody. Welcome to a special, strange edition of The After Party. It's strange, for one, because it is not really after anything, and we don't really feel like having a party. But I am
true,
your host.
True.
I'm Jeff, and I'm here again with Amy from like 30 miles apart, because if you are not keeping up with us in real time, we are currently separated because of the outbreak of COVID-19 in our country, in our world, and we are self-isolating and social distancing, and so here we are, podcasting together, but wanting to be present, wanting to process together. This is all very new for us, both distance podcasting and, you know, we're in process. We are in shock of what's going on.
Basically, everything is new and overwhelming, so, and we're here for it.
Bear with us. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the hope of today is really just to talk about what's happening and process in real time how we are doing and what our community's up to, and hopefully provide some comfort and encouragement to listeners. But here we are.
Yeah.
So, Amy.
Yeah, we have not prepared for this podcast. That's unusual too. Usually when we get together, we like kind of know what questions we're going to ask or like what topics we're talking about. And today is just completely raw. Jeff and Amy processing their feelings like a public therapy session for our entire community, and be gracious.
Yes. Great. So how are you feeling?
Well,
what's happening in your world? Like, let us know.
What's happening in my world is I've been at home now for, this is almost 2 weeks. I work for a school as well as I work for a church, and our school had spring break the first 2 weeks of March. And so this week we extended spring break for an additional week so our teachers could prepare for remote learning. And I will tell you, those of you who have kids, and I imagine are kind of freaked out because you are now going to have to be a homeschooling family if you weren't already. It's overwhelming for everybody. I'm an administrator at that school, and I'm so proud of our team. I'm proud of our plan. I'm excited about jumping back into something that like resembles normal, in that like we're going to start talking to students and learning things again. But it's been just a wild time of pivoting and readjusting what we're doing. So I've been working on that a lot, coming up with that plan for our school and our church too. I mean, churches everywhere are having to completely rethink the way that we do everything. And it's amazing to see kind of like everyone on the planet having to be innovative all at one time. You know, like every single person in this world is having to think about doing something in a brand new way. And that's something I don't think I've ever experienced. So I don't know. You asked me how I'm doing, and now I'm just kind of like babbling about all of this, but
that's all right.
Yeah, it's crazy. And for some people, being innovative is like a way of life. And for other people, it's really hard and stressful. And so everyone's being stretched. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yes, it is crazy.
Yeah, how are you? What are you doing?
I'm all over the place. I'm at home. I'm locked in my house. I am intentionally staying in. And I think the biggest decision I made today for that was choosing not to go to the gym, even though it was probably going to be empty.
Yeah. But,
you know, sacrificing some of those things, even outside of social interaction, like physical well-being is going to have to shift as well.
Yeah.
And on top of that, figuring out what is the next step for church, for society, for the world. And it is, frankly, overwhelming. I have been feeling like a, and I've said this to a few people, just kind of like a low-grade anxiety in my chest. Like, I don't have anxiety typically, but I've just been feeling some tension, some, you know, worry for the future. Because it's all unknown. And, you know, I like stability. I like knowing what's coming. I like knowing like how to do life. And right now life is just completely up in the air. And so it feels, you know, overwhelming at times. And at the same time, exciting because, you know, we've been talking about this virtual connection forever. And many people have been doing it in different ways, but this has kind of forced our hand and kind of pushed us into it. So it's exciting to know that the world is capable of this and that we are moving towards it. That will be a net positive, but also I'm super scared for the long-term impacts on the economy, on different industries that will be affected big time for this.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very wide mix of emotions.
Yeah, I was chatting with somebody earlier today, actually, and I was sort of like struck by the role that faith is playing in my processing of these feelings. It's really weird because I'm absolutely stressed and worried about things that are very reasonable to worry about. I've got two kids. I have work that I have to do at home. I have to homeschool my kids now. like I'm a teacher and that still completely overwhelms me because first graders are not my specialty at all. Neither is Common Core math. I like have no idea where to start, but you know, you would expect like on in a time of peace, you expect for faith to be this thing that sort of like gives you power or, you know, carries you through kind of victoriously or triumphantly. And I've been noticing that faith in my life is actually, it does not feel like it's giving me power or energy or confidence. It's not removing my worry. Rather, it is providing some sort of stability to me.
Okay. And well, that's good.
Stabilization doesn't feel the same as like overcoming or, you know, it's not really changing like my processing of my feelings, which are separate from my fate. You know, like my feelings are over here. I have to process my feelings. I'm not great at processing feelings in case you don't, in case you're not aware of that part of me. I'm not an expert at processing feelings. But kind of aside from my feelings, my faith hasn't wavered as much as I would have thought, like it would either accelerate or, you know, that I'd wind up in a doubtful place. I feel like my faith is just this sort of like very steady, slow, constant presence, which is really comforting. And also doesn't take it all away. You know, it's still, everything else is still completely there, but I'm noticing that my faith is too, and that's kind of interesting.
Can we start there? Like,
yeah,
I imagine we would talk about the negative and end positive, like talk about how we're all sad and then go into how God is good. But I let's start with faith, which ideally is net positive. But like, what have you been? What are some truths you've been holding on to, or been reminded of, or sitting in recently?
Well, yesterday I put this in my Instagram story, but I'll share it here too because it's interesting. Yesterday morning I woke up and I was weary. I mean, I spend time in scripture every day, and usually even on days where I like don't know where to start, I think that's kind of fun and I find a place to start and it's like not a big deal. But yesterday I just couldn't. I could not figure out where to start. I was frustrated. I was tired. I felt like I had no inspiration whatsoever. So I pulled up the YouVersion Bible app on my phone, and I like opened it up to where you can see like, I opened it up to Psalms where you can see like all of the different Psalms, right. Just as like little numbers and boxes. And I went to my two-year-old, I have a two-year-old little boy. And I was like, Luke, pick one. Cause I figured like, I have these feelings. I might as well read some very feelingsy scripture, and you can't get more feelingsy than Psalms. So right. He picked Psalm 31, which is, at first I was like, come on, dude, like Psalm 31 is written by David when he's like waiting for his son to come and kill him. Basically, mm-hmm. like it's just a very different type right. of tragic situation. And it talks about a lot of like, I mean, in Psalm 31 is where it says that you are my rock and my fortress, that you lead me out of danger, that you pull me from the trap my enemies set for me. It's very like, it's a very kind of lamenting psalm when you're in opposition mm-hmm. to like an enemy. Right. So I didn't immediately think that there was any fruit in this. I was like, oh man, I thought God would speak to me through my two-year-old. But then I found my way to part of the psalm that actually was exactly what I needed to hear, which is, it says, I will be glad and rejoice in your unfailing love, for you've seen my troubles and you care about the anguish of my soul. And I thought, well, actually, there's a little nugget. That is what I needed to hear, is merely that you see this and you care mm-hmm. about my pain. And let's start there. It was like an entry point to, well, then if God cares about the anguish in my soul, what does he promise that he will do about that? And I was able to kind of like start a conversation in my time. But it's wicked hard when you're overwhelmed with things in this world to even know where to begin. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to be like, oh, you know, when you have feelings, when things go wrong, when you're, you know, put in a difficult spot, seek the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that is true, but it is not that easy because a whole bunch of things will distract you. It's really difficult to seek God, and sometimes you don't know where to start, but there is a nugget of truth almost everywhere you look.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't beautiful. Know. That was kind of a moment of just utter desperation delivering for me yesterday. And that was nice.
Beautiful.
What about you?
I've also been in the Psalms. there was we're going on a missions trip this summer. Ideally, we'll still be going pending long-term effects of all this. And they sent out an excerpt from to all the youth leaders of Psalm 46, and I kind of breezed by it, but then it kind of stayed on my heart. And then I got trying to do everything at once, and I was like, I need to take a minute, I need to take a breath, I need to like spend time with God. And I read through Psalm 46, and the excerpt that I read was, the Lord is our refuge and our strength, and when even when like the mountains are crumbling and cities are falling, I forget the quote, but like when everything is falling apart, the Lord is our refuge and our strength. And that really spoke to me. And it was, and that's kind of where I wanted to stay. But then I kept reading on, and I got to verse 10 where it says, be still and know that I am God. And it actually, it took me back to a place, like to a mantra that I learned like in high school, that was just going through, be still and know that I am God. And I kind of said it to myself and took a deep breath. And then I eliminated one word starting at the end and taking a deep breath between each time until it got down to be still, take a deep breath, then just saying be, take a deep breath and be. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of went back up all the way to be still and know that I am God. And it was like just a super revelatory and calming exercise to be in that one verse for like 20 minutes, because what I had not been doing was being still. And I was feeling like, while the world is shifting, I need to be on top of it and I need to be in control and I need to get stuff done and I need to make sure everything is still okay. In that and a conversation that I had had with Kelly earlier today, it's like, okay, it helped me realize, like, no, God is still moving. It is okay if I'm not. It is okay for me to rest. It is okay for me to let the world proceed for half an hour and I can rest in his presence. And so that was very, very restful for me today.
That's really nice. I think that is interesting too. I think we are, like, something that I've noticed over the last few days is you are, every relationship that you have, every interaction you have with people is highlighting the different ways that people act under stress, which is sometimes different than the way they act when they're not in stress.
Oh, absolutely.
And I've just been, like, hyper aware of the people I love and seeing the ways that this is drawing out kind of stressful behavior. And I'm just acutely aware of the fact that some of us are comfortable being stuck at home. Some of us are comfortable being stuck at, like, stuck in one place or having to work from home or having limited social interaction. Like, introverts are doing better than extroverts are. Sure. I know some people who literally feel like they're suffocating already and it's only like the second day they've had to. And I think that some of us are going to cope by kind of over resting. And some of us are going to cope by overdoing. And we're all coping. Usually coping doesn't land us in a healthy place. And so like that sort of balance between taking advantage of this pause in the way we know life, but also not wasting this time that God is still asking us to be speaking the truth and sharing good news and being there for one another and loving each other. And that call on our life has not stopped, but we just have to do it differently. So I think that there's a weird balance that hasn't been found in anyone that I know yet. Like, everyone I know is still kind of lashing out in whatever, like, tendency that they have under stress. And that will even out hopefully over time, maybe not, but it also depends
hopefully
on
this
how
situation,
long we're in this situation.
Even if this situation is prolonged, if we are isolated for a long time, it will become less stressful. I think the stress is because it's new and because we're still feeling the loss of a lot of other things. So my stress is twofold. One is I would love more than anything else to treat this like a vacation and to kind of just dissociate. Like, I wouldn't mind, I'd love social interaction, but I wouldn't mind just kind another part of me is like, without the stability of what is normal, I'm questioning my entire identity. Like, who am I without what I normally do there to support me? And so I find myself merging with other people and their goals and their ideas. And like, especially at church, there's like everyone saying we should function this way and that way. And I'm like, yes, that is stability. That is new identity. I'm in for it. I'm at this impasse of like merging with the doing and the desire to check out. And those are like the two extremes. And my healthy self is in the middle.
I think most people's healthy self is in the middle. I mean,
yes,
I think productive, like very like work oriented people like me, I'm like, if left to my own devices, if I had no resource in Jesus, if I had no like emotional resources at all, I would never sleep and I would keep working forever and ever and, until I died. Seriously. And I've had to really learn how to balance that over time, which is, and but that is by learning that like the work that I do is better when I actually build and rest. But I resisted that for like a solid 30 years, I feel like. So so this is remarkably uncomfortable for me, except that I'm still working a lot. And I think that at some point, like once these new systems that I'm working so hard on now actually take hold and people are living them out, I'm mm-hmm. going to have like a reckoning where
sure.
I need to slow down and just like exist in this trauma that we're all, mm-hmm. this is global trauma.
Yes.
100% of human beings on this planet are being traumatized mm-hmm. right now.
Yes. Yep.
So that's something else.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time that happened?
Right. I globally, I don't know.
World War II, maybe? Yeah, but even then, it was like more localized, it feels like.
Right. That was still mostly the West.
Right. Well, I mean, like
excluded Africa entirely. I mean,
Japan
was obviously a big player, but you know, this is global, yeah. truly global. Like the last plague 100 years ago, maybe.
Like the Spanish flu, maybe 1918 was like a thing. But then so many people were going through that trauma, not fully understanding how interconnected the entire planet was either.
Right.
Like I think that part of what makes this so traumatizing is knowing it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Like if you could imagine that there's like a space that's kind of immune, to use a pun of a word, immune mm-hmm. to what's going on.
Yeah.
Then that would be one thing, but you can't. It's literally everywhere.
Yeah. So then let's talk about that. We are traumatized, and I think a closely related idea is this idea of grief. And globally, we are all grieving something. And grief both preemptive grief and active grief, because we can show symptoms of grief before we experience a loss.
Mm.
And so grief is just what we experience when we're losing something. And so there is, we've lost our normal. That is gone, for now at least. Like we have lost that. And we have preemptive grief for potential loved ones we might lose at, like, that's obviously the deepest grief we could experience, but also grief over jobs and income, and because of that, possibly shelter and food and like stability that we have known. And so we all have this grief, and they say there's 5 stages of grief, and they don't all go in order. And not to be too teachy about it, I do want to kind of talk, like just at least list them out so we can name them, so we can acknowledge where we are and acknowledge like what we're going through.
Yeah.
Different stages of grief would be denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And I think we saw at the very start, before this became a thing, we saw a lot of denial. I still see a lot of denial, and like not complete denial that there's something going on, but denial that it's as bad as are people making it out to be.
Mm.
And I would be willing to guess that is a form of grieving, or a part of grieving, of just not acknowledging what's happening. And clearly anger, bargaining, depression. Bargaining, I don't really know how that comes into play as much actively, but anger, depression, certainly. But I think we're all in a state of grieving.
Yeah. And I mean, bargaining, I just don't know that anyone's had a chance to get there yet, but bargaining looks like, God, if you just like get rid of this virus, then I will be the best person for the rest of my life. I promise that I'll hug my mom more if I can see her again. And like, that's bargaining. And I think we're all headed there. Like we're all about to get to a place where we're like, if we could just do this, then maybe, and the truth is, I think like just from reading the news and like the line graphs, you know, of statistics, is that the worst part of this is still ahead. We're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
The most disruptive part of this time is still coming. And that's a really hard thing to say. And I would rather say something more encouraging than that, but it's also important to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what we do today will, in fact, affect what comes next. And that's part of, like, those of you who are listening who are part of our Harbor community, many churches gathered 50 volunteers together anyway and recorded this like massively produced Sunday service on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And that surprised me. We kind of made a different decision, and I'm not saying that anyone's right or wrong. I think we're all kind of like trying to figure out something brand new, but we decided to actually socially distance ourselves. Maybe that's because we're a staff made up of introverts. And we were like, mostly introverts. Cool.
Yeah. Like, oh, we can stay home. Why not?
Kelly and Allie are extroverts, I guess.
Yeah.
But you, me, and Cricket and Paul, you know.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
So, but I don't know. I think that even the way, even minimizing social contact is going to become kind of like taboo over the next couple of weeks. And we really have to like, we have to do it. And I am so thankful. I've got a family. I've got a husband and two kiddos. I have two dogs and six chickens. I can hug something if I want to, you know, and there are people that for whom that's absolutely impossible right now. And I can't imagine. I'm also thinking about the unique experience of people who are doctors and nurses who are like, the rest of us are, you know, theoretically kind of trapped in our houses and complaining about the like disruption of life in that way, but they're like running into the fire. And that is incredible. And thank you for doing that. And we are praying fiercely for you. But even that is like, I posted another, like, I don't know. I've been reflecting into my Instagram story more than usual because, you know, quarantine. But I said the other day, like on Monday, it's everybody's first day. It's either your first day working from home or your first day homeschooling or your first day without a job or your first day running into a hospital that's preparing for something massive. And all of it's exhausting.
Yeah.
So we just have to be really gracious to one another.
Yeah.
And
is there, not to interrupt in any of this, but can you hear a vacuum through my microphone?
No.
Okay, good.
Could you hear my children screaming in the other room?
The background of my world, so I didn't want it to overpower what's happening.
Okay. Did you hear my children screaming in the other room?
No, I did not. Okay. Great. I'll probably leave this in just to be show how real this conversation is.
We're gonna have to get better at this if this lasts more than like
it's authentic. It's the best.
Yeah.
Can I tie a bow on all this?
Yeah.
Is that all right? Well, I forgot what your point was I was going to address. Oh, just the fact that we are all in this, you know, we are all feeling this. We are actively social distancing as a staff as well as everyone else. We're asking everyone to, and we are doing it. We feel the newness of it. We feel the weirdness of it. We feel the stress of working from home and being with families and the chaos of this. And to rip off my my quiet time today, being still is so important, and remembering that God is God is also very important, because this situation does not change who God is, that he is in control, that he is still working all things together for his good. And it does not change who we are to God. It does not change our place in his family, that we are his beloved children. Not to get too cheesy, but it's true.
That's important. And it's also going to be what I predict is a massive doubt hurdle for so many people right now. Like, how could God be in this? And it's important to realize that the coronavirus is not something God has cursed creation with.
Yes.
The coronavirus is a little living organism that we share this planet with, and we don't coexist well. It makes us sick. Just like we don't coexist well in the same room with lions or grizzly bears. This is a different kind of grizzly bear, and it doesn't mean that God's creation is violent or evil, or you know, I think that is a very reasonable doubt hurdle for people right now. And so I will just say, if you know where to reach me, we can talk about it. I think it's a really valuable place to be growing in faith right now, and timely. And I would encourage you to like step into that and discover how bad things like deadly viruses and a really good and loving and all-knowing and all-powerful God can both exist. Yeah. And I have figured out enough to continue believing that myself, but that doesn't mean that there isn't just so much more conversation to have, and find someone to Zoom and have a conversation with about it, because it's an important thing to grapple with. I think that's part of the grieving process that we have to go through right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coronavirus is a grizzly bear. That's going to be the title of our podcast today. The coronavirus is a grizzly bear.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's like really offensive somehow, but I don't readily
that's
see.
All right.
I don't know.
It's not actively offensive. And if anyone has any needs, like present or future needs, that they can't speak English, which is the good news. But if anyone has any needs or prayers, please email care@harborofhope.org. And our care pastor, Cricket, is going to do everything in all of Harbor's power to help meet needs that are, you know, that need to be met. So please don't hesitate to reach out. And we have a community of people who are so excited to help and be engaged and work through these things together. Because that's what the body of Christ is. That's what our church is about.
Amen.
Let's take down this grizzly bear. Amen.
Take down the grizzly bear. Yes. All right. We did it.
Well, see you later.
We love you.
Thank you for joining the After Party. You can follow our sermon series online at harborofhope.org, and you can party with us again next week wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're in the area, please visit us at Harbor of Hope Christian Church on Sundays at 9:30 or 11. Party on.